It's an amazing thing that in 10 or 11 short verses, the Spirit of God has taken us from eternity past, before the creation of this world, before you and I were born, and we already said that He knew each one of us, and it's now taken us into the millennial future, that future where all things will be for the praise and glory of Him. And, you know, Emil just said, we have nothing to do with it. We don't have anything to do with it. And when you think of eternity past and eternity to come, and it's all summarized for us here in a few short verses, who am I? What's this little minuscule individual have to do with any of this eternal purpose? And we need to get a hold of the fact that this is God's purpose and it's His mind. But what a wonder, the grace that even includes you and I in that purpose, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That we should be accepted in the Beloved, accepted in Jesus Christ. You know, and that we are included in this whole purpose. But it's all His doing. His will, His purpose, according to, we've read a lot of times already this morning, according to Him.
I believe, and I'll say this because it's time that we close, but I want to say this as an encouragement to you young people that have not spent much time in this book. I believe that there are a number of us who are older in this room who can testify to you that these are the books the Spirit of God uses and used with us to give real stability in our lives as Christians. Does God expect a young person to read the book of Ephesians? Well, I would suggest if you have any doubt, look tonight in your group at chapter 6, verse 1, because there is a word to children, you see. So I think that He expects us. He expects young people to be in the good of these wonderful truths of what He's given here to us. If it seems like it's a bit deep to you, remember, there are those in this room that are perhaps just beginning with this group. They're 14 years old or maybe 15. There are others in this group that are 20 or 21. It's a wide area to cover. We recognize that. But it's a wonderful, wonderful book. And I ask you again tonight, read the first chapter. We'll spend a bit more time in it, and we'll get into chapter 2 tomorrow. And don't be discouraged if there were some things here that you didn't understand. I want to say one other thing, and I'll speak for Tony, John, this brother, myself, Emil. Take us aside. Pick our brains. We may not have all the answers for you. We don't claim to. But the Bible study doesn't have to stop in this room. We've got a lot of time to spend, and these are deep things. So.
I need 30 seconds.
Go.
The book of Romans, reading the book of Romans, caused Martin Luther to realize and to publish the justification by faith, which starts the whole Reformation movement. Reading the book of Ephesians caused Mr. Darby and the early brethren to realize that the church is not a man-made thing, and to realize there is a head in the glory and there is body here on earth. Taking hold of these truths, young people, is very, very important. And I really don't believe that you cannot understand Him. I don't believe that. I believe that if you, because look, you have the Spirit of God, just like the Apostle Paul have Him. He has the Spirit of God, you have the Spirit of God. He's the one who wrote these things. So don't give me these excuses, well, I can't understand it. I don't buy that. You read it. You will get it. That's number one. But I'm going to go beyond reading. There are two prayers in this book. One in chapter 1, one in chapter 3. The one in chapter 1, I think it's 8 verses. The one in chapter 3, it's 7 verses. I'm going to give you till Thursday. I want you to memorize these two prayers. The 8 verses and the 7 verses. Now, I have kids in my Sunday school classes that are 12 and 13 years old. You're smiling. I give them 1 week. They memorize John 1 from verse 1 to verse 14. Now, that's 12 and 13 years old. So, whoever comes to me on Thursday and recites to me the seven verses in chapter 1, the prayer, from verse 15 to verse 23, and chapter 3, from verse 14 to verse 21, going to tell me those by heart, he'll have a gift from me. The book of your choice from the believer's bookshelf, and I'll pay for it. It doesn't matter how much it is. Okay? Now, I'm expecting all of you. I have that centurion cord. I'm expecting all of you to come to me on Thursday and recite to me. You can tell. The prayer of the Apostle Paul. So, we have a lot of work to do this week. And there is no laziness in here. Today, most of you are quiet, and I understand. But tomorrow, you're going to be on the spot. So be awake, have a good night's sleep, start reading, start memorizing, and pray, and the Lord will give you understanding.
Have any questions? You know, as you go through your reading tonight in your dorms, jot down the questions that you have so that you don't forget them. You know, you might say, well, what is this inheritance? You know, why is God doing this? Why is the book of Ephesians written in this way? Why is the armor in chapter 6? Why is obedience as children in chapter 6? And here we're talking about we're seated in the heavenlies. What is it? What does this New Testament book, or how does it correlate to an Old Testament book? We want you to think. Because what God is doing, young people, He's preparing us. Very often we speak about having a vision, understanding what God is doing, so that when we get chapter 1 in our hearts, when we get to chapter 6, we want to fight. Because we recognize we've got something to fight for, something to hold on to. It's not just some flimsy little thing that's going to fade away. And that's why the children of Israel, they took up the sword in the land, and they drove out the enemies, because there were blessings there for them. So write down your questions and pray that the Lord will help us this week, because we're here at Grove City so that we would be built up spiritually, so that as we go home, we have the tools necessary to stand in an evil day.